So here we are, week 15. Wow, haven't the weeks flown by? If you're still on this programme, if you're listening to this, then congratulations. You are one more week away from completing a 16-week programme which can hugely impact on and even start to change your life. So how did you get on last week with looking at draining influences, letting go of them and starting to do work on positive energy? I hope you had a really great week and that you're going to be able to answer the following questions to support you with the learning that you've already experienced and so that we can carry on and build on it in this week's session, which is all about positivity and protecting your energy. So turn to your workbooks and take a look at the 10 questions that are going to recap on what we started last week. And as always, these are going to take you between 30 and 90 minutes, depending on how much time you spend on them. And they're really valuable to help you in recognizing just how far you've come. So the first question is all about what have you learnt about yourself and the draining influences over the past week? And take some time to answer that question now, please, before you move on to the next one. Number two, who negatively or energetically impacted on you over the past week? And as you identify those people, how did that affect you? And how much of that did you actually allow to happen? Did you change or challenge anything based on your realization that you'd been affected by other people's energy? Which of the techniques or tools from previous sessions did you use to keep you feeling positive? You've got plenty now. Which ones did you call on? And who did you ask to support you in being more positive on a daily basis? What topics or issues or thoughts did you allow to drain you over the past week? And if you noticed them, what did you do as you noticed? And the last question, do you think maybe you drained anyone in the week? Take a moment and check that out before moving on. So after last week's session and the weekly questions and the recap questions, you now should be much clearer about all the draining influences in your life. You're going to have examined, noticed and thought about areas, goals, issues, people and topics that could be draining you and your energy. I wonder how you did with the last question of this week's introduction questions. Who might I have drained? I wonder if you'd thought about that as a possibility. I wonder if the people who drain you even know they're doing it. And I wonder how they'd feel or how they'd react if they thought that they did drain you or they saw themselves as you see them or as you experience them. So let's take a look at some more questions to help you both with those in your life and with yourself as well. So the first question is, how would you know that someone was a drain on your energy? Specifically, what is it that would tell you? We're looking for your strategy, your thought processes here, rather than you just saying, oh, that person drains me. What exactly is it about them that drains you? How would you know? And the second question pretty much is just covered with what I've said to you. What is it about their behaviour or actions or way of being that drains your energy? If you haven't already answered that in the first question, do take time to do that now. Really think about it. As I said, this is a strategy and it's a way of unpicking what happens. There's lots you can do when you realise what causes others to drain you or you to drain them. How do you know or how do you recognise when you feel drained? What's the first thing that happens? What did you notice from last week's work about the individual or individuals that you've listed above? What emotions do these people that you've listed cause in you or stir within you? So by emotions, do you feel frustrated or irritated? Do you feel tired? Do you feel angry? Or maybe it's something else. What emotions do they cause or do you let them cause within you? Now looking back over the previous sessions that we've done, how could you handle these emotions, remove yourself from them, let go of them, move on from them in relation to these people? Still thinking about the people you've listed, what is it they want from you? What do they need from you that makes them appear draining? And is there anything they demand or require from you that you can't give them or you just won't give them? And now you know that, would you be prepared to give them what they want? If you did, what would that mean? How would that feel? What would that look like? What stops you from protecting your energy when you're with those around you who drain you? How would you know if you were draining someone else? What signals might they unconsciously give you that you were draining them? Now, if you haven't stopped and answered those questions as I read them out and stopped the audio in between, please, please do that now before you move on. Stop the audio, go back, answer each of those questions, and then continue with the program. So if you want to protect your energy, you're going to need to become aware of what causes it to leak out in the first place and where it leaks from. You're going to need to know how you know, and you're going to need to know where and when you give your power away to others. What kind of emotional charges are associated with loss of energy, and what fears drive you to avoid or move away from situations or people? See, the theory is you get what you focus on most of the time. You need to consider this. It's also part of the law of attraction. And if you're giving out negative energy, or if you're allowing others to drain your energy, the idea is you will attract more of what you don't want into your life. So we really need to get you thinking about, what do you want? What is it you're currently doing? How can we change that strategy or behavior? We've done all this in earlier sessions. And how can you then use that so that you can be with people, hang out with people, without allowing them to pull you down or drag you down, or even for you to be one of the people who's dragging them down? We're going to look at tools, and I'm going to share with you some options and some creative ways that you can start to explore. And you might want to come up with your own, but I'm going to share some that I've used that have been very effective and that I've used with clients. And if you like them, then just go ahead and use them. But if you're not keen on them or you want to mix them up, then you're going to be able to creatively come up with your own protection strategy by the end of this session. That's certainly my aim for you today. So make sure that you can answer all the points above, as well as the previous questions, before you move on. My hope is that you've done that already. So what's going to follow are some ways to beat negativity and maintain a positive state. We're going to call on some of our past techniques, and I'll introduce you to some new ones. We're going to play with them and find out the ones you like best, like I've already said. And each option I provide you with involves you being aware. It involves you taking action, and you're going to find some of the actions in previous sessions. You're going to need to be clear about draining issues. You're going to need to be clear about your behaviours, your patterns, and you're going to need some reflection time to work through each of the options. I recommend you give yourself at least a couple of hours to do the following really well. This is worth doing, worth giving attention to. This can be some of the first steps towards you really making change, really progressing in terms of managing your energy and maintaining positivity, even in the face of negativity. So here's option number one. It's all about seeing people from a new perspective. If you were to consider the individuals that you listed in the previous exercise as being draining, if you were to think about them as doing the best that they can with the knowledge that they have about themselves and life, this is an NLP presupposition, could looking at it in that way change anything for you? Just stop and think about that. If you thought they're doing the best they can with the upbringing they've had, the experiences they've had, the knowledge they have, they're just being them. Maybe they don't have the self-awareness that you have. I wonder if you looked at it through those eyes, if you put some new glasses on and looked at them in that way, could it possibly change anything for you about them? Maybe you might notice that all they want is some time or some patience from someone that might be able to be willing to listen to them. Maybe they just want your company, or they want your attention. Remember, significance and attention are basic human needs. And sometimes, if people don't get attention in a good way, they'll go for it in a negative way, because some attention is better than no attention at all. Now, if you look at it like this, might you feel differently about them? If you've given that some thought, and it helps you to see them differently, what might you do, or what could you do next time, so that the people that you've listed as draining you, you could perhaps operate from a more loving place for them, a more caring place? Now, how might you respond differently with this attitude? How might that improve or protect your natural energy by not allowing yourself to get sucked into any negative energy they're putting out? Stepping back, stepping out of yourself, looking in at them with compassionate eyes, perhaps being there for them for a little bit of time. How could that change how you see them? How could that protect your energy? Could it? Of course, what I've just said may not be true. It might be that they're very negative and you just don't want to have anything to do with them at all, and that really you'd rather move on. And if that is the case, what will you do about that? But before you get to that conclusion, check out the perspective I've just shared with you, and then you can make a decision as to whether you still want this person around in your life or not. Do that now, please. Okay, second option. During my supervision training, I heard one of my trainers say something like, when we're working with people, there are only two places to go. One of them is protection, which is fear-based, and the other is connection, which is love-based. I don't know whether you'll agree with that or not, but I quite like the idea of the love-based connection. It's not always easy to do, and I do remember when I did my basic Reiki training in level 1 and 2, I was taught to think and then project love towards everyone I came into contact with, particularly if I had conflicts or disagreements with them. Now, on first hearing this, it seemed a little bit strange. After all, if someone's been unkind to me or not very nice, why would I want to project love to them? I'm pretty glad I moved on from that first way of thinking, for now I understand that by holding on to anger or bitterness, resentment or annoyance, irritation or any other negative emotion that I may have linked to another person, actually weighed me down. I ended up carrying that around with me, and I didn't even tell the people about it. I just held it within my body, within my mind, and I could end up blaming the other person for making me feel with this way, these negative emotions, and just not able to shake it off because it's all about them. And I could end up thinking that they're the cause of me feeling angry and bitter and resentful, etc. And every time I see them, those feelings could surface because it's like an anchor, seeing them and then feeling. Now, if you multiply that by however many other people that you might allow into your life that make you feel bad, is it any wonder you could end up with low energy, feeling drained, negative, tired, and overall, generally, not in a good place? And often, as I've already said, the people that you feel make you drained or emotionally tired, they might not even know that they cause you to feel like this. And because I haven't communicated my thoughts or worries or upsets or anxieties to them, perhaps because it's socially unacceptable or because I'm being polite, I go around carrying the burden, and they're not affected by what they're doing at all. So what can you do with that? Well, as I've already said, in Reiki and in energy work, what I was told is that you could start seeing and feeling and then sending love metaphorically and energetically to the people who bear you negative thoughts or to the people that cause you to feel drained when they're around you. Now, you need to be ready to do this, and you might not be willing to let go just yet. And of course, you could check out if that's true with the kinesiology test, or you could just check out your feelings in general, just trust your instinct. You might be getting some secondary gain by holding on to negative feelings towards these people or by allowing them to make you feel drained. Or maybe you've decided that you just don't want to have anything to do with them, but you're not brave enough to step away from them. You have to endure them. Now, if that's true, it could be important to look at your own behaviours and look at your own self-worth and look at your esteem and look at your confidence to speak your truth. Of course, we're not looking at you hurting anyone. That's not my intention here. My intention is for you to make decisions. Remember cause and effect? To make choices. If you're going to hang out with these people, why not hang out with them, protect your energy, send them love, and have a nice time, maybe reduce the amount of time you spend with them. But just complaining inwardly or to other people, putting up with negative energy without saying anything about it, is actually causing you to be a victim. And of course, as a victim, as we know, you have very few choices. And you get sucked into a game, an eternal game of it's not fair, blaming others, and then no doubt going on and draining others yourself. So quite a lot there for you to think about. So if you like this idea, one of the ways that you can do it is to imagine love as a colour. Breathe that colour into your heart. And with your eyes closed, start to see either a rainbow or just that colour that you've breathed in, emanating from your heart area and meeting the heart area of the person who's been draining you. And by sending them unconditional love, by coming from that place of caring and support, from coming from that place of understanding that they're doing the best they can with the life and the information that they have, you can actually start to let go of some of the weight, some of the draining issues. And you can use that love to protect yourself with as well, stepping into it, surrounding yourself with it, creating it as a diaphanous shield of some sort, so that as you walk through life, you're actually sending out rays of love everywhere you go. This is something I have practiced on a regular basis. I found it incredibly helpful, very nurturing, and a very beautiful way to start my day, imagining this lovely, colourful love all around me, And then whenever I started to get a little bit niggly or to feel that I was being drained by someone, remembering my shield of love, diaphanous, so see-through and like air, so it's not weighty or anything. And then extending that into the person who I was maybe struggling to talk to or cope with, and remembering that they just might need a little bit of my time. However, not giving them more time than feels appropriate for this particular interaction. Maybe you'd like to practice that. However, if you don't like that one, then I've got another option for you. So take some time to think about that one and then move on to option number 3. Try that one out. Stop the audio now, please. So option number 3. I remember hearing a long time ago that one of the reasons that people don't get what they want when they're setting goals is because of stories we tell ourselves about why we can't have what we say we want. Our everyday life could be in some ways compared to a story or a film. And it depends on what kind of title, what kind of storybook or what kind of film you like to give yours. I mean, maybe yours is a horror movie and horrible things just keep on happening to you. Or maybe yours is more like a soap opera. Or it could be a drama or a pantomime. Or maybe yours is a comedy, a documentary, or even a musical. Which one of those categories do you think most or best describes your life over the past 10 years? Please choose one of them now, and then in your workbook you'll see a place where you can actually write, "My life is most like a..." This is a very creative exercise, so give it a go. If you don't like it, you don't ever need to do it again, but give it a go and see how you feel about it. Now you've got a category. What title would you give to your story, to your drama or your pantomime or your comedy, etc.? What's the title of your life over the past 10 years? Who are you in the title? Are you the lead? Are you the heroine or the hero? Maybe you're the clown. Or perhaps you're the stand-in, the bit part. We're all the main characters in our stories. We're all the leading roles. But sometimes we don't see ourselves in that way. So how do you see yourself? What's the theme of the category? Who are the other characters in your story? List each one of them and then list what impact each of them have on the part that you play in your story. If you were telling this story to someone else, how does the lead in your story, that's you by the way, handle his or her role? Do they handle it with ease? Are they positive? Maybe it's fun or happy. Perhaps it's romantic or sad. Maybe it's negative or an ongoing challenge. Let me give you an example and then you can start to work on this for yourself. So my life might be an adventure story. And the title is Part 5, The Roller Coaster Ride of Emotions. And in it, I'm the hero or the heroine. And my theme in life is triumphing over adversity. So I see myself riding into the battle of life, looking to do what's right. And as I come up against others with their politics, which are like flying boulders or rapid rides, I notice how I'm a bit like a knight in shining armour. I'm looking to save others. I'm looking for the drama and the adventure. I'm looking to win the battle. I'm expecting there to be a fight. And my aim is to come out on top. And as I look to escape the dark moments and escape the captors, and as I either run away from the baddie when they're too strong for me, or when I face them and stand and fight, I risk being captured. I risk being locked away in a dungeon if I fail. But because of my courage, because of my willingness to face my enemy, I know I can triumph over him or her. Now maybe that enemy is my inner chatter, or maybe it's the people I come up against in my establishment, or perhaps it's the people that are in my life and I'm always looking to argue or fight or create or to go for risk or to be the leader or to challenge others. That's just an example of how you might use the story to help you get clear about some of the characteristics, some of the ways of thinking, and some of the ways of seeing the world. Now, I might want to check that suits me, and if it does, well, that's great. However, if I'm constantly in a battle, that could be very tiring, both for myself and for others. If I always see others as against me rather than with me, again, that could drain them as much as me. I could end up exhausted with this kind of story if I live it for too long in my life. And so just by writing the story or talking it into an audio, it can help me to get a clearer picture creatively through metaphors about how I see my life right now. And like I say, if I like it and I'm happy with it, wonderful. But perhaps I could sometimes change some aspects of it. So how do I handle my role? Well, I find that I handle it with challenge and humour. I'm determined. I have courage in spite of my fear. And I decide that I like those characteristics. But there's a few more I'd like to add as well. So this is just, as I've said, a really creative way for you to take a look. And what you might then do is find that you want to add in the other people, the other characters. And so for this character that I've just described, this hero, the other main character in his life, or her life, is the kindly but needy queen. Then there's the partner, the strong, proud Viking, doing battle with the enemy with me. There's my best friend, who's a damsel in distress, always needing someone to save her. Wow, she drains me. And then there's my other best friend, the wicked witch, who snipes and moans about everyone and everything. I wonder if she drains me too sometimes. And then there's my brother, the arch-enemy, looking to take the family inheritance away. And now that I've identified these characters in my life, this is the way they impact on me, in the following way and order. So this is a creative first step, which can help you to look at your current situation and just play with it, start to see it from a different perspective. So it's an opportunity to see how much drama you create, or do you allow others to create in your life. Now, drama is a secondary game for a lot of people. It gives them that human need called significance. It's about importance, variety, excitement. It's about attention. And if life is too boring or too samey, then how wonderful to bring in somebody who's a persecutor, or to become the victim or the damsel in distress or the hero going out and saving everyone. Can you see why it could be important to look at this stuff? Because if you don't know what's going on in your life, if you don't realise that you're wrapped up in a story, it might be really hard to give it up. So this could be a first step towards a creative way of looking at your current situation and your current life. It could help you to start to see your life from a different perspective. It's kind of a playful one. It's an opportunity for you to see if you create drama in your life, and or if you allow other people to create drama in your life for you. Drama is a secondary game for a lot of people. It helps meet human needs such as significance, importance. It brings variety and excitement in. It gets you attention. And people do it because life gets boring or too samey, or maybe they're operating from their comfort zone. They don't have enough significant goals set in their life. They're not stepping into their stretch zone. So therefore, if they start to bring in a bit of drama into their personal life, well, it makes it worth getting up in the morning. So you might not like the creative idea. If you don't, please leave it, move on from it, ignore it. But if you do, you could really start to enjoy looking at your life in terms of a pantomime or a story or a drama. And it might help you to break through the old patterns and feelings that you have about it, and the old behaviours. And you might need to go back to the first couple of weeks of this programme to support you and help you in doing that. As I've already said, people will often bring variety and excitement in the form of drama. And one of the things you could start to do is, if that's true for you, then how could you get those needs met in a different and more supportive and healthy way? It'd be really good for you to take time and think about that now if you're going to look at this exercise. Please take some time and do that now. So as an adult, you can now be the writer of your story. As a child, you had very little choice. You were told what you had to do. You were told what your beliefs should be, what was right and what was wrong. Of course, that's part of guidance, part of parents doing their best job possible to help their young children to grow up in this world. However, you didn't maybe have the control, and rightly so, that you might have liked when you were a child, but now you do. Now you're an adult. Take a look at your story. Rewrite the parts of it that you don't like. Change those bits. I know that sounds easy, and I know it's not, but you can use this program to support you in taking little steps to move you forward. Just 1 inch at a time, or 1 foot at a time, or a metre at a time, or however you want to operate, however you want to move forwards. And rewriting your story doesn't have to be that difficult. I mean, think about it in terms of films and movies. There are films like James Bond, and there are films like The Family Man, which have been updated because of a new generation and a new audience. And they've been tweaked and they've been modernised to fit the current market. Well, if you were to think about your life story in that way, you could keep the good stuff. You could keep some of the behaviours and habits that support you and help you. And you could just rework and retweak a few little bits of it that perhaps weren't giving you the best outcomes that you'd like. So think about the old style. Think about what isn't working for you. Think about how you'd like it to be. And then use some humour and creativity to start to introduce just a few lines at a time. And lines are like positive affirmations, challenging limiting beliefs, telling yourself a new version, a new story. Maybe for you, it's time to tell yourself a new story. So again, perhaps you'd like to think about that just now as well. Stop and notice what you're thinking. Stop and notice what you're doing and saying. Rewrite the tired, dated and no longer useful lines. Help free your energy up so you can become less drained and stop draining other people. And maybe this option could support you in doing that, this creative way of thinking. Write it as a fairy tale or a movie or a script or a film or even just a short tale. If you like this idea, please stop the audio, take time and think about it now. And if you're not sure if you like this particular option, stop be a really good way forward for you to just break free of some of the old ways of talking to yourself. Please go do that now. So this simple exercise can help you to recognise how you currently create or how you see your world. And by using the following questions, you could start to break free from your old way of thinking and start writing a new middle and a new ending. Give it a go. It could put you back in charge of your energy and your life. So think of your goal or an issue that you're currently struggling with, that you're challenged by, or you're fearful of, and answer the following questions. But don't worry if some of them don't make sense to you, and ignore any that really aren't appropriate to your particular issue. So in character, that is, as the hero or the heroine, who do you blame for not being able to have the life goals that you want to have in this area of your life? So the goal that you've just written that you're struggling with, maybe it was around career or relationship or health or some other area. And in the character that you play in life, who do you blame for not being able to have the life goals that you want in this area or in this goal in your life? Who do you get back at, or who do you let down when you use your story and your fear to keep you stuck so that you can't move forward with this goal or with other goals? What benefits are there for staying in your comfort zone, for avoiding moving into your stretch zone? There's going to be some benefits if you're stuck there. Maybe you've moved past all this and maybe you don't do that anymore. Maybe you know to go straight into your stretch zone. So this might be a question that you're going to miss that you won't need to answer. But if you know that you do stay in your comfort zone, just check out what are the benefits and what benefits or gains are there for blaming others for your current situation. More on benefits. What are they for living in a state of denial? What behaviours or self-destructive patterns do you use to prove it's not your fault when you're not successful or not moving forward at the pace you'd like to? And how could you get those benefits or gains met in a more positive way? Think about what we said earlier with excitement and variety. What are you avoiding doing? What are you avoiding thinking or feeling when you procrastinate or blame others for not succeeding in this area or this goal that you've identified at the start of these questions? What are you denying or not taking responsibility for when you do the above? What are your excuses so that you ensure that you don't get to have what you want in your life around this goal or this area? Now, name the fear that you're avoiding by playing this game. So earlier on in a previous session, I shared with you that sometimes in the past I'd avoided things because of disappointment. Some people avoid things because of anxiety. So name the fear that you're avoiding by playing the game in this way. How long has this been going on for? And how much longer are you prepared to let this continue for? And in general, what needs are being fulfilled by you making excuses? And if you choose to let go of these excuses, I wonder what experiences or opportunities might you have access to that you don't right now? So John Gordon, he's a motivational speaker, he says, tell yourself a positive story. Life is a story, and the story we tell ourselves and the role we play in that story determines the quality and direction of our life. Successful people are able to overcome adversity by telling themselves a more positive story than the rest. So instead of a drama or a horror movie, they define their life as an inspirational tale. Instead of being the victim, they see themselves as a fighter and overcomer. You can influence the outcome of your story. If you want to find out more about John Gordon, you can pop him into your search engine and you can sign up for his newsletters, which are all about positive thinking and positivity in general. And of course, when we're working on this program together, I think you've got this by now, we're not talking about you being positive all the time. We are talking about you being realistic. And sometimes it's realistic and important to listen to your negative voice because it's there to protect you. It's there to keep you safe. It's got a real added benefit in getting you to think about what might go wrong. The difference is, by thinking about what might go wrong, the positive side of that is preparing for it if it does go wrong. Where it becomes a problem is where you think about what might go wrong and then you stay stuck in what might happen but hasn't yet happened, and that stops you from taking action or from moving forwards. So this program is very much about realism. It's not about going through life ignoring the fact that there are dangers around the corner or that there could be some negative things that you need to pay attention to. It's about how can you positively deal with what might go wrong or what might not happen in life. And those who are able to think of it in this way, those who are able to contemplate the possible outcomes in terms of failures or disappointments and then plan for them, think ahead and then handle them if they happen, they're the ones who are actually operating from a very realistic and positive place. So it's important for me to share that with you at this point. So if you haven't already done so, please go and do the story exercise now. Stand back, take a good look at how you've been trapping yourself. Now, this might not be true for all of you who are listening, but some of you would have been trapping yourself by your story. And the more aware you become of that, the freer you can get. And then when you finish with this exercise, move on to the next one, which is all about rewriting your story. I can feel some more goal setting coming on now. Here's the exercise. Share your old title with your coach or buddy. This exercise is going to work best if you talk it through with someone else. So what's the title of your life or your story at the moment? And what caused you to come up with that title? Take some time to answer these questions, please. After this personal work that you've done, would you like to change your title? And if the answer is yes, what would you like the new one to be? And what role would you like to play? And what category would you like your story to fit into? See some of the original questions. So now, thinking about the new title, the one you've just created, what would you like the outcome or end result of this story to be? Write it now how you want it to be. Take time to write how you'd like your story to be. And I wonder what characteristics or capabilities you're going to need in order to develop or acquire this new ending. So what's missing? And I wonder what characteristics or capabilities you already have that will ensure that you can have the ending that you want. Take some time to write those down as well. Then you can see what the gaps are. I wonder how many chapters or sets there's going to be in your new story so that you can have the ending that you want. What would each of the chapters of your story be called? Or what would you label them? How would you label them? How long will it take you to run this new movie or to start to live this new story? How motivated or excited are you at having this happen? And what could you do in order to make this new way of living, this new story, really happen? List your actions. What's going to need to happen now in order for you to achieve the new story that you want to tell yourself, the one you want to live in place of the one that you've been living? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I'm not bothered and 10 being I'm absolutely going for this, how committed are you to writing your new story, getting clear about what you could do, and then taking the actions to make it happen? When you've come up with your figure, share the answers with your coach or your buddy, set your journey goals, and start taking action on the up-to-date rewrite of your book or your story. Please do that before you move on to option 4. So remember, some of the past exercises we've done around state management, choice and positive thinking could really help you both with the options that we've shared so far and now with this new option number 4. So if you want to preserve your energy and if you want to stop others from draining you, then you need to start by believing you can. That's an absolute key for any change work. So here's some things you can do. Step into your energetic, confident or whatever state it is that you desire. Step into it and remember you have choice. Stand like you have choice. Think like you have choice and see yourself having choice. Remember, you've got the choice to hang out with negative people or with positive people. You just got to go find them. We can't change others, but we can change ourselves and we can change our past bad choices. Remember that. Use positive language. Use positive thinking. and find some positive people to keep you upbeat, and use memories to support you when you have to be around or hang out with negative people. There's loads of negative people out there, of course there are, and sometimes we're going to be part of those groups. The real skill, the real key is, can you manage to protect yourself from being dragged down into other people's negative stories? Can you pull yourself back up and move yourself on and then go help impact and inspire others with your positivity? If you're hanging out with really negative people, they won't really want to hang out with you for too long if you're positive. So you're going to need some new people around you, or else you might find yourself slipping back to the way you used to be. Talk about what you want rather than what you don't want. This isn't easy for people, and it's something that one needs to practice. And if you don't know what you want, write down everything you don't want and then ask yourself, so if I don't want this, what do I want instead? Take the time to do that. That's a really important part of changing the way you think and the way you speak and the way you see yourself. Create a long-term vision or a new story for how your energy can be maintained, and take actions in order to make it become true. Start focusing on what's important and make choices based on those important things that you need in your life. So not everything is going to be as important. So not everything is going to have the same importance. Start prioritizing. Get clear about what really matters to you. Ask yourself 2 or 3 positive, energetic questions to start your day with when you wake up. And when you go to bed at night, remind yourself about all the things you've got to be grateful for and all the wonderful people you already have or soon will have in your life. And I've already mentioned John Gordon. He says, replace have to with get to. Do you know, this is such a wonderful little switch, because it can help you to change your mindset and your attitude. It can make you aware of what you have. It can help you become more appreciative, and it can move you towards a happiness, can move you towards greater health and energy. I get to do this. I don't have to. Really helps with cause and effect and with choice. So the above options are a great place for you to start with. Go back and check which ones you're going to use to support you with your energy switch. And then we can move into our last option, which is 5, and how to protect your energy. Switch the audio off, do those exercises, and come back when you're ready. So here we are at 5. This is a series of visualizations and exercises to help you protect your energy. Now, I've gathered these from a number of different classes that I've attended over the years, and I've used all of them at different times. They come from Tai Chi, they come from chakra balancing, and they come from yoga. And with protective visualizations, the important thing is the intention. So even if you don't think you're very visual, set your intention to be protected, and then talk yourself through one of the following, and use your imagination as much as possible. And then if you like any of them, use them. But if you don't, use them as a springboard to create your own visualizations. So these are just examples and ideas. I'm not saying you should take any of them or use any of them in particular. You could certainly start thinking about them in terms of you creating your own special visualization to protect you. And if you want to know more about protecting your energy, then Sonia Coquette is worth reading or listening to. She's written books and she's also on DVDs. So exercise 1, protective egg. Close your eyes. Take 3 or 4 deep breaths in and out. When you're ready, imagine a transparent life-size egg in front of you. Does yours have a door, or can you just step in and out of it? Maybe yours has a color or a weight. Take some time now and decide how you'd like your protective egg to be. Now you've given this some thought, imagine yourself stepping into your egg. Ideally, it's going to be lightweight and transparent, so it's going to be easy for you to keep with you at all times. And as you step into it, notice how reassured you feel, knowing that your protective egg is shielding you from any negativity wherever you go. With this egg, only positive energy may flow into your egg, so it can join you and your positive energy, and it can leave you feeling uplifted, energized, and happy. So anytime you enter a room with any negative energy, or if you come into contact with a negative person, your egg will immediately form a barrier that prevents the flow of negativity from touching you. So perhaps you'll want to do something like, imagine it will turn into rubber like I did with mine. When I walked into a room and calibrated it and felt there was any negativity, I would imagine I was in my rubber egg rather than my air-like egg. And then as any negativity approached, or I thought it was, or I could feel it, I imagined it turning into headless darts. So they were like blunt darts. And as they aimed at my rubber egg, so they would just fall to the floor. And then they could bounce right back to the person that was sending the negativity my way. and it would either be neutralised or returned to source. So see what you think about that. And if you like the idea of the egg, practice stepping into it before you leave the house each morning as a form of protection. It's a very quick visualisation, doesn't have to take very long at all. And as you get used to using it, over time, you can find that there's an intention. Just using the intention is going to protect you. And all you'll need to do is think about that in order for it to work. Now, maybe you like that one, or maybe you're not so keen on that one. So here's the second idea, and that's the invisible cloak. So think Harry Potter. For this one, you need to think about a colour that you really like that represents protection for you. Please do that now. What colour represents protection for you? When you've got your colour in mind, imagine a sheer cloak with a hood in this colour. And make sure you can put it on. It's got a zip or a fastening of your choice, which covers you completely from head to foot. Again, it's weightless. If you want to have any pattern or anything else on it, go ahead and see that there now. Now, each morning, before you go to work or before you leave the house, see yourself putting this invisible cloak on in your mind's eye, knowing it's going to guard you against any negative energy, but will always allow positive, uplifting energy to mix with yours. Try that one now, and then when you're ready, come to number three. So the third exercise is white light. Imagine white light pouring from the sky or from the other energy source that you may believe in. See how the light in your mind's eye cocoons and bathes you, shining all around you, following the shape of your body, a bit like an aura, and extending 3 to 5 feet outside of your body shape. With this light protecting you and shining from you, no negative energy can penetrate it, as it's going to be reflected back to the person or the environment that it came from. Now, if you like, you could add some silver and gold strands into the white light, or you could add some pink, which is the colour of love. It's entirely up to you. But please, go ahead and give that one a go. Try it on. Try each of these on and see which one fits best for you. And like I said, you might not like any of them, and then you can come up with your own or make your own up. Fourth exercise, it's sending love. So choose a colour that represents love to you, and when you have it in your mind, imagine it outside of your body, but in front of you. Start to breathe slowly in and out, breathing in the colour of love, into your chest and your heart, and breathing out anything that isn't helpful or useful for you. Next, imagine the never-ending colour of love pouring out of your chest in front of you wherever you go. See it as a line, as an arc, as a rainbow, whatever suits you best. Extend it out to everyone and anyone you come into contact with. Make it your intention to send love to all people you meet, regardless of knowing them or not, whether they're positive or not. And notice how love conquers all fear. Notice how it connects you to those that maybe you might have felt disconnected from in the past. Notice how love lights up the dark and protects you throughout the day and the night. Try that one on. See what you think about it. Exercise 5. In my supervision training, our tutor shared that the next protective exercise is one that you can drop in just in order to release yourself from the energy of someone that you've just been working with. Now, my tutor says that protection can actually equal fear, and that if we come from a place of love, that is enough protection in itself, as per the exercise in number 4. So she recommends that when you interact with individuals, as we usually do, just be present for them. And when the interaction is over, imagine a towel dropping in front of you from your head down to your base chakra, which is the groin area, and in your mind's eye, allow that towel to become the distance between you and the person you've just been working with or talking to. And in your mind's eye, just see the person and the energy that they had around them when they were working with you or chatting to you. Just see that energy going away with them, them taking that with them, and the towel being the opportunity for you to break that connection with that person. And you can shake the towel if you want in front of you to, in case there's any little bits left on of their energy on it, or you can just leave it there in front of you, knowing it's acting as a protective barrier for you. So there's quite a few different little ideas there for you, and I hope that you've got enough choice from the above examples to find one that suits your needs when it comes to protecting your energy. You've now got a number of different and creative ways of looking at how you could protect your energy, and I've mentioned Sonia Coquette to you, and there are books out there as well in the bookstores that you could go look at, and of course you can make your own one up. But from the above exercises, I hope you've got a better idea of where you focus your attention and your intention, that But from the above exercises, you may have a better idea of where your focus has been and which, once again, will give you... From the above exercises, you may have a better idea of where your focus has been. And maybe, now that you've given this some thought, it's going to give you more choice. Choice to keep focusing on what isn't working, who's draining you. And yet you might choose to do nothing about it. And if you decide to do that, at least you know you're choosing to do it. It's so much more empowering. I know you know this from our previous sessions. Or you might choose to focus on how to change who you hang out with. You might choose how you see the people that you hang out with. And you might start taking small steps to protect your energy, to move you into a new state of intention and protection. Remember, it's important that your intention is set on what you want before you start to make change happen. If you want lasting change to occur, you've got to have an intention that's focused on what you want every single day. Now, doing that alone is a big step towards getting what you want. You get what you focus on. So ask yourself, what are you focusing on? So let's end this session with a few tips to help you remain positive. Emotions, states, energy drains, and attitudes are catching. What part will you play in spreading positivity? What are you going to do to avoid catching negativity and letting it bring you down in your work or your environment or your home, etc.? Answer that question now. Recently, there's been a number of TV programs telling us that the British don't complain enough. Perhaps that is true in terms of complaining to the right people in order to resolve a problem or an issue. Complaining in general is something I've noticed happens quite a bit in the UK. I wonder if you agree. It can sometimes appear to be a bit like a pastime or a hobby. And if it's practiced too much, it's toxic and it spreads like fire. It's negative, it has a low vibration, and it brings people down. Complaining can destroy visions, it can destroy goals, dreams, and performance. So what will you do to catch yourself complaining unnecessarily? How will you handle those around you that complain as part of their everyday behaviour? What are you going to do about it? The good news is positive attitudes can also be contagious. Now, I'm fortunate enough to work with only positive people, so every day feels good going to work. The people I work with look for solutions, and mostly they're smiling and looking out for each other. It only takes one person to start this off and then gather others around you. What would you have to do to make a change in your family or in the company that you work with or the team that you work with? Positivity becomes easier when you align your beliefs, your thoughts, your words, and your actions. So if you catch yourself saying something negative out loud, change it immediately. Alter your body language. You'll be amazed how it changes, even subtly, when you're negative. Challenge internal mind chatter as soon as you catch it. Find yourself complaining, look for a solution and take action. Just by taking these small steps, you can, over time, start to make a shift in your attitude and move yourself towards a more positive outlook in life. I'm going to mention John Gordon for the third time in this session because he writes such wonderful information around positivity. He says, you can be a germ and attack your organization's immune system, or you can act like a dose of vitamin C and strengthen it. I love that. I think that's fantastic. And that goes for family as well as organization. He goes on to say, if you went to work with swine flu or some other infectious disease, your boss would send you home. So recognize the part you play in bringing your infection to work, the part you play in the family home or to your friends, and decide to change it in that moment. So here we are at the end of week 15. You have done such a fabulous job in getting to this stage. We have one more week left together. Next week, we're going to be looking at gratitude and then bringing everything we've done together and looking at how do you move forward. Your recap for this week is we did questions, we looked at protecting your energy, you've had five options to support the change, we've had some creative exercises, and I've given you some tips for positive thinking. Your personal development exercises, you've got quite a few questions today, haven't you? Get clear about who drains you, options to change that, identifying, creating and rewriting your story, we've got protection strategies, and of course we had tips and focus. And your questions for this week to put around your house. As I think about my top three goals, I will be aware of how I think about my goals and who I hang out with and who may affect them. So here's your questions. Who did I hang out with who impacted on my energy today? What did I do about that? If I caught myself complaining or being negative, how did I turn that around today? I have chosen option. You're going to pick one of the options to support you in challenging your draining influences in your life. And having chosen that option, how often did I use or practice the energy protection option today? How did I decide to rewrite my story for today and my future? What responsibility am I taking for my positive attitude and my mindset on a daily basis? How often did I remember to use my energy protection technique? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do I want to feel or be positive today? As always, you have your weekly action plan. Write a sentence about where you are with your goal right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to achieve it? What 3 steps could you take this week to help move you closer to your goal? Write them below. And what have you done over the past weeks to take you towards the achievement of your main goals that we've been working with? Write your progress to date here. We've only got one more of these to do. I really hope you've enjoyed this session today. There is so much on energy protection. It all starts with your attitude towards it, with your belief in your ability to do it, with your mindset, with your willingness to become aware and to look at what you're currently doing and how you're operating, and then to make conscious choices about what you want so that you can move forward with certainty towards achieving it. I wish you a wonderfully positive week. I hope you enjoy practicing all the different techniques that I've introduced you to today, and I very much look forward to meeting you again for our last session together next week. But for now, take care.